This is your host, Michelle, and you're listening to Old TV with a New Twist. Let's see what classic television show we're watching and talking about this week. Welcome to episode 44 of Old TV with a New Twist. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the iconic 1980s sitcom, The Golden Girls, which was requested by our listeners, Stephanie Catlinato and Lori Dobear. And tonight, to talk to me about this, is my son-in-law, Gino Gio. Gino, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, and I'm glad I'm back. I went and looked to see all the old shows that I did, to see how I compared this show to those. And it's pretty good.
It compares. Okay, good.
It compares pretty good to
Well, we can talk about that later when we get to our, you know, final thoughts and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, The Golden Girls is a pretty phenomenal show for a lot of reasons. It was an ensemble cast with four older actresses, which you didn't see often. So this was quite a thing, and not just a show, but quite a successful show. It ran for seven seasons from 1985 to 1992. 177 episodes. IMDb's description of the series is this: the lives and interactions of four older women who have all been divorced or widowed and are all now roommates in Miami, Florida. Now, this description is a very simple description, but it opens up tons of possibilities and sets the stage because the men in their lives are gone, their kids are grown, all they have is each other.
Yeah, and the writers could go any which way with any storyline. They can just make up something.
Yeah. But it always comes back to friendship and how they're always there for each other. Now, before we start talking about this episode, I do want to touch on the cast and the characters, because I just think this cast can't be ignored. And we're going to talk about the ages. So what I'm going to do is we're going to go youngest to oldest of the cast members.
Okay.
Do you know who the youngest is?
I do know who the youngest is. I went and looked at their ages just to see.
Okay.
So the youngest is, I'm going to mess up her last name, Rue.
Is that Rue McClanahan.
Rue McClanahan.
Who played Blanche Devereaux. Yeah, she was born in 1934, so she was 51 years old when the show started. The second is Estelle Getty, who played Sophia, the old lady.
The old lady.
She was born in 1923. Which made her 62 years old. Now, she was 1 year, 2 months, and 12 days younger than Bea Arthur, but she played Bea Arthur's mother.
Right. Just like fun facts of Golden Girls.
Right.
And they said that she was a year younger than her daughter, and that it took, I read conflicting reports that it would take like 45 minutes to 3 hours to make her look that much older.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like they just put a wig on her and made her look a little bit older.
She looked really old, and she did something that is very, very emblematic of an older woman, is that she's always got her purse on her arm.
Really?
Did you notice that?
I didn't.
They went in the dining room to eat at home, and she comes out with her purse on her arm. Hmm. And it's an old-time looking purse, like from the 60s. And do you know what other very recognizable elderly woman in this world always has her purse on her arm in that exact same manner?
Queen Elizabeth?
Yes! Gino!
That was just my guess.
Really? Queen Elizabeth, I'll never forget Charles and Diana's wedding. She's coming out to church with the purse on her arm. But she always reminds me of that.
What is the Queen of England keeping her purse?
What do you think? Let's think. What would the queen keep in her purse, Gino? A tiara? A crown?
I have no idea. Maybe like some reading glasses, maybe?
Possibly. Gloves.
I would assume her Secret Service would have everything she would need.
Yeah. A little hand sanitizer, maybe? Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe a mask now.
Definitely a mask, for sure. And then, of course, the next in age. So we had Rue, who was 51. Then we had Estelle, who was 62. So that's 11 years. Rue was considerably younger than the rest of them. Because then B. Arthur, born in 1922, was 63 years old. And then Betty White, born in 1922 also. She was 63 also when the show started, but she was 4 months older.
So
then
she
B.
Was
Arthur.
The oldest. So Betty White was the oldest.
She was the oldest, obviously just died. And the cast died Estelle in 2008, B. Arthur in 2009, and Rue in 2010. Hmm. Three consecutive years. And then 11 years later, Betty right. White died. And of course, with her dying, she was the last cast well, member.
And she was the oldest. So that's pretty crazy.
The oldest and the longest to live.
Now, with Betty White was more popular than the other three to begin, like earlier on in their careers?
Well, here's what we can say as far as a successful acting career. And I have this down here because it is quite impressive. Here's the thing. Their IMDb acting credits. This is what they've done. Estelle Getty, 112 credits. Rue McClanahan, 234 credits. B. Arthur, 261 credits. Betty White, 560 TV credit.
Oh, this is a ton.
She
was everywhere.
Had him beat. Now, Betty White, what I find extraordinary is the range, what she played. TV, obviously, the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Hot in Cleveland, which came in later in life. Mm-hmm. Cartoons, she did voices on The Simpsons, Family Guy, Pound Puppies, SpongeBob SquarePants. Movies, The Proposal,
right.
Lake Placid, The Lost Valentine. I've never cried so much ever in a movie than her performance in The Lost Valentine. Phenomenal. Soap operas, The Bold and the Beautiful, Days of Our Lives, Sunset Beach, Another World, my favorite. Game shows, and this is just snippets. This is just a few. Game shows, Password, Match Game, Tattletales, To Tell the Truth, The $25,000 Pyramid, Hollywood Squares. Talk shows, you name it. Carson, right. Leno, Kimmel, all of them. And then she's also the oldest person to ever host Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
And if you have not seen her skit on Saturday Night Live where she talks about her Dusty Muffin, you have to look it up on YouTube
and
watch
check
it.
That out. I haven't.
Betty White, Saturday Night Live, Dusty Muffin. Look it up. This woman is just a classic. And Gino, let's not forget the iconic Super Bowl commercial. Do you remember that?
The Snickers commercial.
The Snickers
yes,
commercial.
Yes, yes.
Iconic.
Yes.
You know, she just was everywhere. And I got to tell you, since she died in December, I can't hear that theme song, which we just listened to, without tearing up a little bit.
It's funny that you bring up the theme song because that's all I No, from the show.
Well, that was my... Okay, tell me about your knowledge of this show so far.
My initial exposure to the show is The OC. So on The OC, which is my favorite show of all time, Summer Roberts and another girl are fighting over the same guy. And they meet in the bathroom at this party. And one of the girls starts humming the theme song to Golden Girls. And then the other girl is like, oh, and starts humming it back. So they start singing the song together. The Thank You for Being a Friend song.
Oh.
And then they like bond over liking the show and they're like, oh, I'm Rose and I'm Blanche. So like that, I didn't know anything about it. So like at the time I had no idea what the characters were like or anything. And I still didn't until right now.
But that's the beauty of this show, Gino, is that here's The OC. And I assume it's like a show of like,
it's like a teen drama,
your age or teen drama at the time. But yet they love the Golden Girls.
Right.
Yeah, most people, I don't watch a show with a bunch of old. Yes. Through the generations.
Yes. Especially now that I looked up, because I was looking up Golden Girls, fun facts and all that. And on Google, it has like when the show is playing on what channels and stuff.
Right.
And it was like CMT, TV Land. It was like 30 times today that it's playing. So it's on TV all the time.
The syndication is unbelievable. You could probably turn the TV on right now and catch it.
For
if
sure.
we went out there, it would be on somewhere. Yeah.
Like growing up, I obviously knew of the Golden Girls because it was that popular. But like Golden Girls, like if you haven't heard of Golden Girls, you've been living under a rock. Like
right.
Nobody doesn't know what the Golden Girls are.
And let's state that this show went off the air while you were still in diapers.
Right.
So, but still, you knew about it through your whole childhood.
Oh, yeah. I always knew about the Golden Girls. I didn't realize that it was so cutting edge, I guess. I always thought it was like an older woman show.
They weren't going to talk about some of the things they talk about, right?
I just thought they would be like cooking and knitting and stuff like that.
Oh, well. All right. Well, before we go into the specifics of the episode, we're going to take a little break for a brief announcement. Before we talk about any specific episode, I'd just like to announce that if you are not a member of our Facebook group, please go join. It's called Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And what I do is about a week or two before the podcast drops, I will go in and tell you what show we're going to be podcasting about next, but specifically what episode we're going to be talking about. And I'll tell you exactly where to find it, on what platform. I'll even post a link, whether it's Amazon or Hulu or any of the free streaming apps like Dailymotion, Pluto TV, Tubi TV, or Crackle TV. I'll let you know exactly where to find it. That way you can go in, watch the episode, and when you listen to the podcast, you can follow along with us scene by scene because you will have seen the episode. And you can find out, did you laugh in the same places we laughed in? Did you not like what we like? Or did you like what we liked? And it'll be kind of fun to follow along. Just wanted to put that announcement out there to let you know that in that Facebook group, you'll have all the information before the podcast drops. And we're back, and we hope that all of you are already members of our Facebook group and you have watched the episode that we're going to talk about. It is season 3, episode 4, entitled Blanche's Little Girl. My husband told me that the name should be Blanche's Not So Little Girl.
But yeah, that should be the name of it. That's pretty funny.
This episode aired January 9th, 1988. But real quick, one thing I want to do first is the four characters.
Okay.
Sophia Petrillo is Dorothy's mom. And she's obviously the oldest character. And she is acerbic and unfiltered. Right. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. She's a stereotypical older lady who just says whatever comes to her
older
mind.
Older Italian lady. Yes. Very opinionated and going to say it. Right, Gina?
Yep.
We both have Italian families.
Yep.
And then her daughter is Dorothy, played by Bea Arthur. And she's what? She's the sensible, stern...
I would say she's the glue that holds everybody together. I felt like she was the main character.
Then we have our beloved, I can't say Betty White without saying beloved in front of it. She plays Rose Nyland, who's kind of
it's kind of dingy.
Dingy, who's from St. Olaf.
Yes.
And then there's Blanche Devereaux, played by Rue McClanahan, who is a slut. Although this episode don't focus on it because this is about her daughter. But
they make a couple comments.
In all of the episodes, she's bringing all kind of men home. And the interesting thing about this is that Betty White played Sue Ann Niven on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and she was hot to trot for the men. Hmm. Is hot to trot?
Nobody really says it anymore, but I know what it means.
But she played that character on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And when they cast her for this show, they cast her in the Blanche role. I'm sure you read that.
I did read that.
And they had Blanche as the kind of dingy one, which Blanche was kind of dingy when she played Vivian on Maud. Okay. As the second fiddle to Bea Arthur. Huh. This is a roundy round here. But they felt that they can't cast them in the same roles. And Bea Arthur was kind of unhappy, but so they just switched them. So that's how those roles got. And I wanted to point out each of these characters has that distinct thing about them.
For
and
sure.
I want to point that out simply because it lends to the show in a great way,
mm-hmm.
these personalities, and leaves a lot of storylines open. So let's go right into the episode, Gino, because we've got a lot to unpack here. And we talked because there's an A and a B story.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the A story is the main one, which is about Blanche's little girl.
Right.
But there's a B story. And actually, the first scene deals with the B story. You want to tell us what the B story is going to be?
So in the first scene of the show, Sophia comes home from work and says she was let go.
She's just complaining about the management, that they're coming down on them. They're not saying hello right. They
got
to say howdy and all this kind of stuff.
And it's a fast food restaurant, Pecos Pete, that she works at.
So Pecos Pete's Chowwagon. Can I ask you something? When you heard Pecos
100%.
Pete, what did Pecos you think
Bill.
Of?
Pecos Bill in Disney World. That's all. It's the first thing I thought of because she's dressed like a cowboy. She's got the vest on. She literally looks like Pecos Bill on the sign. And that's what I was like, definitely.
And that's one of our Disney.
Oh, it's a Disney go-to.
You got to go to Pecos Bill's. Tell us about this bee story.
So we're going to go through the whole bee story.
Do we want to just go through and finish the bee story now? And then we can just concentrate on Blanche's little girl.
Sure.
Okay.
So
she's complaining about her boss, the scuzzbag McCracken, the manager. He's just really hard on the old ladies. He's hard
on all the old ladies, and all the old ladies decide to go on strike. So the boss decides, hey, we're going to have a meeting with all the old ladies who are not happy with him. Mm-hmm. And Sophia's like, I'm going to have this meeting on my turf in her own home. And then the boss comes over. Who
is like 12 years old.
Yeah, he's the owner of the store's son.
When he walks in, he looks like he's about, 14?
Oh, yeah, he seems super young. His voice is so young.
Oh, my gosh. It was so funny because you didn't expect it.
Right.
I did not expect that.
No, I was expecting an older.
The way they talk about McCracken, I thought it was like this old just old guy, just not old, but like middle-aged guy with a gut who comes.
Who kind of cracks the whip on him, like real stuffy type of guy.
Yeah, this is a boy whose voice has not changed yet.
No.
And he's like, all right, I'm not here to negotiate. What do they threaten him with?
I don't know. What do they threaten him with?
Because one of them says, what if we told your dad that his car didn't get scratched in the parking lot? It got scratched when you were doing wheelies with it.
Yeah.
And he said, you wouldn't tell my dad, would you?
And then the lady who is telling him this happens to be his grandma. So he fired his grandma from his dad's store.
Pecos Pete's Chow Wagon.
Chow Wagon.
But that gets worked out.
Yeah.
So that's just the little B story.
It was just a little B story. It was honestly just filler for the episode. They probably ran out of a couple fat jokes that we'll get into.
You mean the 259 fat jokes we got in 20 minutes wasn't enough, Gino? They didn't have enough?
They ran out of them. But I want to say, I was reading a little thing about the table that they're sitting at. There's only ever 3 chairs there at that table, unless they pull up the stool, because there was not enough room on the set to have 4 chairs there.
Well, that's kind of silly. If you have 4 main cast members, why would you not have a set that could accommodate them?
That's what it said.
Wow. But that's right. Now that I think about it, there is only 3 chairs at that table. Okay, so let's get to the A story, the main story about Blanche's little girl. Blanche enters. She's all excited. She has a postcard from her daughter, and we find out that they have not talked in 4 years. That's a long time to go without talking to your child.
Very long time.
But she sent a postcard. She's coming to see her mom, and Blanche tells us a story that her daughter is a fashion model in Paris.
Yes.
And she's gorgeous and thin, and men would mortgage their houses for that body.
Yes.
So she's all excited. And she said her daughter was in college and wanted to quit college to go to Paris and be a fashion model.
Right.
And she didn't want her daughter to quit college. And apparently they argued. And the daughter said, I'm tired of you trying to run my life, telling me what to do. I'm leaving. And it caused this huge rift, which 4 years, that is terrible. But she's very excited. Now her daughter's coming back.
Right. She's missed her. She's longed for her daughter.
Yes. So they are preparing for Rebecca's arrival. And Blanche is very nervous. When the doorbell rings, she's got to leave the room. And she says, I can't. I'm too nervous. Yes. I'm just so nervous. And they said, it's been 4 years.
Yeah, it's been 4 years, but she needs 5 more minutes. So she needs 4 years and 5 minutes. I thought that was pretty funny.
That's some clever writing, I think.
There was clever little things throughout the whole show that comment that you're like, oh, that was pretty funny.
Yeah. So she's not in the room when they go to answer the door. And so Sophia goes to answer the door. Sophia is the unfiltered one, shall we say. Tell us about when Sophia answers the door, Gino, and we see Rebecca for the first time.
First, I want to point out the doorknob of that door is the biggest doorknob I've ever seen in my life. Their whole hand, they have to palm the door to turn that doorknob. But anyway, the doorbell rings and Sophia opens the door and she says, Rebecca says, hello, I'm Rebecca. And Sophia says, "You're Blanche's daughter, the model?" And Rebecca responds, "Yes." And she says, "What did she model? Car covers?" Because she's a bigger woman.
Which, okay, rude. Okay, oh, go ahead.
Definitely rude.
Yeah, but it gets worse. Go ahead.
And they say it right in front of
her. In front of her.
Yeah. So then Rose tells Becky, she says, "So Becky, what brings you here to Miami?" And Sophia, right as she says it, says, "My guess is a small barge." And I was cracking up laughing.
But cringing at the same time.
You know, I wasn't cringing, but I thought there's no way that would be written today.
And don't we find that in a lot of these shows?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
There's and they just keep coming with them.
Yeah. My favorite line's coming because Dorothy steps up and says, "Oh," like she knows her mom's being kind of rude. She's like, "Oh, it's so nice to meet you, Rebecca. You have to excuse us." And Betty White, Rose Nyland, says, "We just weren't expecting you to be this fat." I'm like, oh my gosh.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Did you laugh at that? I really laughed.
I laughed at the whole thing. I thought it was funny. I think it's fine to make jokes. The show is a comedy show. And I think it is totally fine to make these types of jokes. Even today, I think it's fine. Now, you need to be also realize in person, in actual real life, no, you probably shouldn't do that. But this is a show. It's for entertainment. It's
comedy.
It's much like the Will Smith and Chris Rock thing. He made a joke. Was it the nicest joke? No, but it's a joke. It's funny. Now, it's fine.
Ooh, went there. Okay.
If it's a joke, if it's for entertainment purposes, it's fine. These people are all willingly saying these jokes. The girl who is playing the part, she accepted it. Now, she might not have loved it,
right?
But she did it.
Right. But did you detect that that actress is not really as large? There is a scene where she is clearly padded up.
100%.
Okay.
It took me a while. When she first comes in, she looks very large. And then later on, there's a scene where her arms are not covered. And she's got like a shorter, like a quarter sleeve shirt on, and you can see her actual arm.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it, so you can tell it's padded.
It's padded.
And she's got big shoulder pads on. Yeah. But yeah, I definitely thought when I first saw it, it made you think. I was like, is she padded up or is she not? She definitely, it was pretty decent padding.
I mean, she's not a tiny actress, but she was padded up to look bigger.
I think the clothing, the style of that time was like very big shirts and big skirt. So, it was easy to pad somebody up.
We laughed, but we cringed.
Definitely a little bit of cringe, but mostly laugh.
Yeah. And as you said, this episode today would probably be considered problematic.
100%.
The words fat shaming would be all over the internet, right?
It would be, I'm surprised that it's not off of Hulu or off of YouTube or wherever you watch it.
That they don't rerun that episode. Yeah.
It's pretty. Now, it's not that bad. It's just a couple jokes, but in today's world, you would think they probably would take it down.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're going to discuss these jokes in a different light in a minute. Okay. So Blanche comes in the room and sees Rebecca, her daughter, says, "Oh, let me look at you." And what does Sophia say? Do you remember?
I do. I just can't. I can't.
This could take several hours.
I even wrote it down. Dude, it's hilarious.
It's
laugh out loud hilarious.
It is.
It, like when we always talk about the laugh out loud moment.
That you can't pick one.
That whole 5 minutes of Rebecca arriving and then like the next two scenes, it's all laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Every joke they make is funny. Uh-huh. Even though it's at the expense of a larger person.
Right.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. So, oh my God. And I think this the next fat joke. When Blanche says, "Tell me about Paris. Where did you live? Where did you work?" What did Sophia say? "Where did you find jeans that size?"
Yes.
This is awful.
It's funny.
And there's a little part of me that feels guilty for laughing at it because I'm also cringing. But gosh, it was funny.
And they're also, it's like back to back to back to back. It's like doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Like it just continuously goes.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where it's like less, you would think less is more. But like I thought it was like appropriately back to back. It was funny.
It was extremely funny.
Funny person.
And the thing is, out of all four characters, Blanche, Rebecca's mother, is the most vain of the characters. And say it's really odd that her daughter's the one that's going to come in looking this way. So when she finally gets alone with her daughter's, you know I've gained weight. Mama, does it bother you? That was a little heartbroken because she could see her mom was, bothered by it. But she, does it bother you? And Blanche says, no, but you can tell it does. Blanche and Rebecca are talking, and Rebecca says, but Mom, I'm happy. Just don't start this again. I'm happy. I need to do what I need to do. And Blanche says, how can you be happy? Look at yourself.
Yeah.
Oof, what this message is messed up here a little bit. Because, you know, today you can't.
No.
You can't do that. My heart broke for Rebecca here. But she plain says to Blanche, look, you're doing it again, Mama. Nothing is enough for you. You know, I couldn't just be pretty. I had to be the prettiest. I couldn't be bright. I had to be the brightest.
As Blanche says, well, I didn't say you had to be the fattest.
Oh, my God. Like it's not stopping. Like you said, they just keep coming.
No, it was nonstop, and it was all perfectly hilarious.
So she just says, "You just got to stop," because here she's threatening to leave again.
Yeah,
because this is what you were doing to me before. So it kind of leaves off there with the fact that you know, I love you, Rebecca. I love every last pound of you. Just exactly how many pounds am I loving here?
Right. She says that.
Which proves her discomfort with the weight.
Right.
How much you weigh? Because she's like, I'll put you on a diet and you'll lose all the... No, Mama, stop.
Yeah. It does seem at that point, the fat jokes from the women end. So nobody says anything.
Right. Blanche is uncomfortable with it and she has to learn.
So they learn that Rebecca's getting upset by it. So they say, all right, well, we'll stop.
Yeah.
And well, they don't say that in the show, but you assume that's what happens because the jokes end.
And this story is about to take a turn when a new character is introduced. And we're going to talk about that right after we take a short break. Okay, and we're back. All the ladies are in the kitchen. They're preparing dinner for Rebecca and a guest that she's bringing over to her mother's house for dinner. So, Gino, tell us about this guest that she brings in.
So Rebecca is bringing over her fiance for her mother to meet finally and for everybody else to meet. So they welcome him into their home and get to know him a little bit.
Yes. And his name is Jeremy and he is a distasteful human being. Tell us about Jeremy, Gino.
So Jeremy, it's like he's that Rebecca is his first girlfriend who kind of just accepts him for how he is. And how he is a really big jerk. He never says anything nice to Rebecca. He makes jabs at her weight. He's just a genuinely awful person to her.
And the ladies are all seeing this.
Throughout the show, and all the girls, all the golden girls, are seeing the way he is. And they don't quite think he's right for Rebecca.
Well, they think it's terrible the way he's talking to her.
Right.
And they're all in the kitchen talking about it. Like, I can't believe he talks to her like that. Y'all were fine with Sophia insulting her to her face.
Every single one of them, except Dorothy, said something just as bad as her fiance.
It's just, come on.
I just think that they're
telling, I have a problem with that.
With the guy?
Because Sophia literally comes in the kitchen and says, I can't believe he's talking to her like that. What you were doing right in front of her face was just as 100%. Bad. I'm going to read a review. A person wrote about this. They gave it 1 star out of 5. And they said, the point that this episode was trying to make would have worked just as well had it only been the lousy guy who Rebecca was dating hurling the insults. Adding Sophia to spew the same insults was unnecessary and made her look mean. The moment she opens the front door to greet Blanche's daughter, she hurls fat jokes right in front of the woman's face. It's shocking and makes you cringe at how mean and disrespectful she's being, not only to someone she's just met, but to Blanche's own daughter. And it's odd that later on in the episode, she sits in the kitchen with the girls agreeing what a jerk the boyfriend is to be so insulting to Rebecca when she was doing it herself within only 2 seconds of meeting the poor girl. She is such a hypocrite here. It just didn't need so many fat jokes to get there. We can already see she's overweight, so I believe that could have spoken for itself without all the hurtful insults written intended just to get laughs. What say you about that, Gino?
I agree 100% with it, except I think the jokes were funny.
Me too.
Like, they were funny jokes. And for whenever this episode came out, 1988, the jokes are fine. I do see how somebody now with the sensitivity of everything
right.
will watch it and be like, probably shouldn't do those things. It's like, I went and looked at reviews as well. And like the subject of the review, it's like, too many fat jokes. Painful episode for anyone with weight problems. And those were both posted in 2021.
Ah.
It's like, absolutely adore the Golden Girls, but the fat shaming in this episode is too much. And then it says, this episode is why I stopped watching the Golden Girls.
Ooh.
So this was written on May 9th, 2021.
None of these reviews are from when it aired.
No. None of these.
Because I think the sensibilities were way different.
And plus, back in the day, there was nowhere to go review the episode. Maybe the writer in the newspaper.
Yeah.
But like nobody was writing on the internet. Can you believe the Golden Girls last night? They were saying all these fat jokes. Like, nobody was going to say that in 1988. I would venture to say 97% of people that watch that episode are dying laughing.
And there is going to be a little bit of a lesson learned.
For sure.
So we'll get to that. But Jeremy, you know, just keeps going at it, and it's getting worse and worse. Every scene he's in, he's saying things to her. And B. Arthur's character, one thing I loved was what she could do without saying anything. Mm-hmm. Her face, when they would just, the camera would cut to just her face.
Like pan, yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, that's what makes me think she was she didn't really have that many lines in this episode, and none of it revolved around her. But I felt like she was the main character.
Finally, Rebecca is going to leave to elope with Jeremy.
Yep.
And they're all telling Blanche, why are you letting her marry this guy who treats her this way? Mm-hmm. You have to say something. But she don't want to, because last time she said something,
her daughter
didn't talk to her for 4 years. I don't want to lose her again. That's the struggle here.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the final straw is where Blanche just says, get in the kitchen. And she takes her daughter and Blanche is like, get in the kitchen. I need to talk to you. And even if I lose my daughter, I got to speak out. I got to tell her how I feel. So she asks him, why would you marry that lump of nothing?
Yeah. And she just thinks that she's not good enough for anybody. She said,
look at me, mama. I'm not a catch. Oh, my heart broke. He's not good enough for you. They get into an argument. Rebecca storms out. I told you not to interfere in my life. You know, I'm going to do this. She leaves with Jeremy to creep. And later in the evening, all the women are in their pajamas sitting around four people sitting around the table for three. I think Blanche comes in and pulls up a chair, right? Yeah. And they're eating cheesecake. Now, this is a usual staple of this show. There's always a dilemma that they're up late talking about, and they're always eating cheesecake.
Yes.
So, yeah, they're eating the cheesecake. Blanche comes in, and she's depressed because she's just not sure if she did the right thing. Mm-hmm. The doorbell rings. And did you know who it was going to be, Gina?
Oh, for sure. For sure. It's, you know, you definitely watch. If you watch any show, you kind of know what's going to happen. And you're rarely ever surprised that it doesn't happen. So the doorbell rings and it's Rebecca. And she tells Blanche that she was right. And that she left Jeremy.
And she realized how much her mother loves her. And she knows she can do better than Jeremy. But the episode ends great, where Blanche invites Rebecca to come into the kitchen and have cheesecake.
Eating cheesecake. And then they use that for one last fat joke. And she says, oh, maybe we shouldn't go in the kitchen and go into the bedroom.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't want her daughter to be fat.
And she don't want her to eat the cheesecake. So maybe they make you think for a minute that she has accepted her daughter how she is. But then it's like, no, I don't want you eating cheesecake. So it's like, okay, do we have a lesson here or not? But that's how it ends. That's the end of the episode. Anything in your notes about the episode that we didn't cover?
Nope. We've covered everything about the episode. Just a couple little tidbits that I saw, like looking up the Golden Girls when we were just talking about the cheesecake.
Right.
And then B. Arthur did not like cheesecake.
Really?
In real life, she didn't eat cheesecake.
So was she faking it?
It didn't say if she was faking or not, yeah. But she said that she did not like the cheesecake.
They ate a lot of cheesecake too.
Also in my reading of the show.
I appreciate the thorough research you do.
I like to look up the stuff before. Yeah. Estelle, who plays Sophia, she said that she did not like making fun of people. And I was like, she said she didn't like doing fat jokes, like stupid jokes. So I don't know if that was after the fact, like after she did it, they were like, oh, this is probably not the best thing to be making fun of. So, and then I also read that Bea Arthur, did she leave the show?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to get to that. Yeah, yeah, we'll talk about that. Humor meter.
Humor meter in the first 7 minutes of the show was a 10. It was hilarious.
Whoa, Gino, you've never given a 10.
No, it was just funny. Like, I don't know if I would, continue watching the show. This show has the most potential for me to watch again.
Really?
Yes. I thought the beginning of the show was hilarious.
Right.
All the fat jokes were funny.
Yeah, they were.
They didn't miss.
They were very funny.
They kept rolling in. Every 10 seconds, there was a fat joke in the first like 7 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
And it was funny. Was it right? Probably not. But was it funny? Absolutely.
Well, I gave it a 9.5. That's the whole episode. If I had to go to first 10, I'd probably say a 10 if I'm just judging those first
I'm just
few
going
minutes.
With the first few minutes of it was hilarious. It kind of dies off at the end, like the humor of it, because they get more serious about it.
Yeah.
But the first 10 minutes is hilarious.
Right. This is interesting. I can't wait. Your favorite character?
My favorite character? It's probably Dorothy. Just because I, like how we talked about, she's the kind of like the voice of reason, the kind of the glue that keeps everything together. I liked her. My least favorite character is 100% Rose. I am just not into that type of character. Like, bring it back to Friends like I always do. Joey on Friends is the dingy character. He makes stupid remarks. He says stupid things. He's dumb. But he has some depth to him. He can get serious. Right. Not every single episode is some like Joey being dumb. Now, I've only watched one episode of Girls and Girls, so I have no idea how Rose is in the other episodes.
She was pretty dingy. She's always dingy, but she does have better moments.
Yeah.
LOL or favorite moment? Do you just want to go with the whole first 7 minutes of the show?
Oh, I would definitely say the first 7 minutes. Oh, the first. So that was hilarious.
And it was one after
it was
another.
Quick.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd have to say that too. Now, watchability meter, the chances that you'd want to watch this show again, between 1 and 10.
I'd say it's probably like a 7.4. It's probably because I know Eden loves the show. She's always like, I'm going to watch The Golden Girls, and it's on all the time.
Okay.
I almost know for a fact I'll probably watch it again.
Yeah.
Because it is an easy watch.
So we're going to talk about the spinoffs. In 1992, The Golden Girls came to an end when Bea Arthur chose to leave the series. She did not want to continue. She was done. So in the finale, Dorothy gets married and moves away, which leads to the spinoff series, The Golden Palace. And it is Rose, Blanche, and Sophia by a old hotel in Miami called The Golden Palace, and they run it. And Dorothy makes a couple of guest appearances, but it only lasted 1 year, from 1992 to 1993, 24 episodes. I said, and then there was a second spinoff. I don't know if you know of a show called Empty Nest.
Nope.
On the show in Miami, there was a neighbor to the girls. He was Dr. Harry Weston, and he had two daughters that like were grown. So he had an empty nest, but his daughters wound up coming back home, and they both wound up living with him. And that was Dinah Manoff and Christy McNichol played his daughters. That show lasted 7 seasons also, 1988 to 1995. And then there's a third spinoff. They had The Golden Girls, then they had The Golden Palace. Empty Nest was a spinoff of The Golden Girls. And then there was a show called Nurses that was a spinoff of Empty Nest.
Wow.
And that ran for 3 seasons from 1991 to 1994. And like I said, Dr. Weston from Empty Nest, he was a doctor. So then they did a spinoff with the nurses that he worked with. But the next thing I want to talk about is awards. The Golden Girls received critical acclaim throughout most of its run. It won the Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Comedy Series twice. It had 3 Golden Globe Awards for Best Television Series. Each of the 4 stars each received an Emmy. It ranked among the Nielsen ratings top 10 for 6 of its 7 years. TV Guide ranked it one of the best series of all time. In 2014, the Writers Guild of America placed it on their list of the best written TV series of all time. The Associated Press reported that the series continues to attract new fans in the 21st century and characterized it as an example of a sitcom that has aged well. Would you agree with that?
I do.
It's aged well?
For sure. I agree with that.
That was a mouthful though. So a lot of awards. My little bit of mom's useless trivia, because it's very useless, is that of all the shows that aired on NBC, it was the only one to topple The Cosby Show.
That's pretty big. Because that's a show that I watched. Probably the oldest TV show that I've watched is The Cosby Show.
Really? Okay. Yeah, yeah. It was in the 80s. Yeah. According to her Emmy TV Legends interview, Rue McClanahan said that the Golden Girls were not close offset.
Really?
The only ones that were friends was she was friends with Betty White. The others were not friends. As a matter of fact, Bea Arthur did not stay in touch with any of the co-stars after the show ended. She's like, peace out. I'm gone.
Interesting.
And that was it. The writers of the show always tried to give Sophia the raciest lines. Well, like, she's the one that did all the insulting fat jokes. They said they did this because her character had a stroke, which made her unable to control things she was able to say. So it was almost like an excuse. She's really, you can't really hold her. She's not being mean. She's don't know what she's saying because of the stroke.
I do want to say the house that they live in, they say it's Miami. They show the front of the house after when scenes change. That house is in Los Angeles and not actually in Miami.
Well, you know, when the show began, the exteriors of the house was that house in Los Angeles. But then they rebuilt a replica of it. And in later seasons, they used their replica for the exterior. And you know where the replica was built? Disney's MGM Studios in Orlando, Florida. Nice. And when you would take the back lot tour, you would see the house. You never saw that house on the back lot tour?
I don't think I've ever. I think I did do the back lot tour like one time, but it was halfway gone.
Back in the 90s. And we saw it then and we never saw it again. I already talked about that. The exterior of the house for the first season were shot from a real house in California. For later seasons, the exterior shots were filmed at Walt Disney World's MGM Studios, where they built an exact replica. This replica was demolished in 2003. That's why you never saw it. Took 45 minutes to make up and transform Estelle into Sophia. Rue McClanahan had a clause written into her contract that she be allowed to keep all of her custom-made clothing. So McClanahan had 13 closets filled with a designer wardrobe.
Wow.
That was made for Blanche in her apartment in New York City. Wow. Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, loved the show so much that the 4 actresses traveled to perform a live show for her in London. And the most interesting, I always keep the most interesting useless piece of trivia, is that the actresses consumed over 100 cheesecakes during the show's 7-year run. Bakeries from around the United States would send in cheesecakes for them to use for these scenes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That some of the useless knowledge. I mean, the new Sex and the City show came out. I forget the name of it.
And Just Like That.
And they kept, there's memes going around like the ladies in Just Like That are the same age as the Golden Girls are on the show.
You guys listening to this podcast can't see me, but my mouth is agape because that's hard to process. Because look how different they look.
Oh, I know. They have like their hair. It's what is it, the bouffant hair? Is that what it's called?
Where
it's
when they're teased.
So like, I guess in those days, once you turn 50, boom, hair went up. Like, you don't have long hair no more.
Wow.
So yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. It's not as close as I thought. I thought they were like the exact same age, but it's still close.
But that's close enough.
I mean, if Rue McClanahan was 51 and they're 56, it's pretty.
Yeah.
It's a new age.
They're older than Rue was in this episode we just watched.
Yeah.
Because this is only the third season. So Rue would have been 54 and they're 56.
Mm-hmm.
Gino, you just blew my mind. Wow. Okay. Well, this was fun.
For sure.
We had a lot to talk about.
This was a fun one.
So of all the shows you've done, this has been your favorite, you think?
Oh, I think so.
Okay.
I think this was the most watchable, rewatchable.
Funniest.
I really enjoyed Bosom Buddies the first time I watched it.
I really thought you were going to be blown away by Coach.
I liked Coach. I'd say Coach is probably up there. It was probably second.
Barney Miller, would that be the bottom rung?
Barney Miller, it wasn't bad. Uh-huh. I enjoyed it. I liked Barney Miller because it was just contained in that one room.
Right.
Now, I don't know how the Golden Girls is. I don't know if they travel.
Think about this episode. They never left the house.
They didn't. Yeah. Everything was in the house. So
that's amazing.
Probably how most shows are. I mean, you think about Seinfeld. He's always in his apartment. But
right.
Or the restaurant down the street.
Monk's Diner. All right. Well, I don't know what show you're going to have next, Gino. You'll be patiently waiting. But anyway, thank you so much for being here.
No problem.
This is going to be a little longer than our most recent podcast because there was just so much to talk about. This was quite an episode.
And it's a lot of Betty White. There's a lot to talk about with her. She's very famous.
I wanted to talk about her a little bit at the beginning because I hadn't done a little homage to her contributions to the entertainment world. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to put that in here. So thank you for indulging me with taking a little bit longer to do that. So thank you so much, Gino. Can't wait to have you back again. Say bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. This is Michelle, and thank you for joining us for this episode of Old TV with a New Twist. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on your Apple Podcast app. And join our Facebook group, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group, and tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about, and we'll keep you informed of what's to come. We'll be back next month with a whole new episode of Old TV with a New Twist.